Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, my go-to sports bar in the East Bay. Look, this will be a shock to no one. I love watching sports, and I love it even more while at a sports bar. But to be honest, there is a long period of time where I just couldn't find one I actually liked. I'd find a spot that had TVs, but the food sucked ass, or a place that had good food, but they wouldn't show the game I wanted, and the inside felt dark and depressing. It was always some trade-off or sacrifice, and that's finally done now. The ACO is exactly what I'm looking for without sacrifice. They have a huge space, including an outdoor spot where they shut down an entire street and called it the Town Gardens. They have more than 100 televisions, which can and will show every game you ask for, and they have great food. The ACO has everything you need to comfortably watch your favorite team in any sport at any time with passionate fans. I love it, and I'm pretty damn sure you will too. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans get everything they want every day they want it.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. No Marcus today, but with me per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
It's going well. Matt, so look, I'm hella fired up to talk about that game. You can only imagine how fired up I am. But let's get the elephant out of the room, or at least acknowledge Maxime is driving as we record. I mean, in a car. I don't think he actually has a wheel ahead of him, but some additional challenges for our master of all things video here. How you doing over there?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're introducing a new segment. This is the Blair Witch Project Part 2. So I'm excited for all of the camera shaking that's going to go on. I think this is what everybody dreamed of when they heard that I was moving into the Master of All Things video in addition to sound.
No, that's exactly right. We actually have two new segments. One, the consistent Blair Witch moving, and then two, me throwing up live on air because I watched it. So, I mean, that's things to look forward to, Maxime. Dude, we got to talk about some fucking Warriors after a huge game to win. There is only one segment ahead of us today. It's the glass half full. Look back at that game too. Free form. No specific questions we have to answer. We're just pulling things out we like and we don't. And I'll start this way. You know what I like, Maxime? Beating the motherfucking Lakers in a playoff game. So we touched on this kind of before when we were talking about the series at large, and that I have manufactured hate for a series of teams during the dynastic run. But nothing ever compared to this like inset decades level hate I've had for the Lakers forever. But if you're going to point out a downside, weird thing to say, for the dynasty, is that it happened to coincide with a period where the Lakers just weren't even around. We didn't get to like beat their ass in a playoff setting at all. So the first thing I enjoyed was finally getting to watch that team lose to our boys in the playoffs. So let's go. That's how I'm starting the bidding. What do you got?
Yeah, I love that. The only thing that I wish was different is that, you know, we were down in a crypto, I guess it's called now, because that would have been just extra sweet. But it was, man, what a glorious win. You know, I was thinking about you a little bit because you had to watch game one with so much angst with your sister. But here in game two, I mean, I was over at some friends' houses and we were like talking light. It was easy. You know, his wife was there and she's like, you know, a casual fan. And she was down to talk about whatever. And she was talking about some fashion from like Zendaya on the sidelines. And, you know, I could hang with that conversation because I just wasn't stressed out about the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my I find a way to insert angst into everything. And I felt a little angst in that first half. In fact, I'll share a story. I was going to save it for down the line, but I'll give it to you now. So just in the first quarter, right? LeBron starts off hot. He's hitting those threes. He hit that ridiculous at the end of the shot clock thing. And at one point before the Warriors started their dominant run, they were down, I don't know, not much, 4 or 5. But because I'm a psychopath, I'm sitting there cooking, watching by myself. My wife is coming home a little bit late. And I pause it, turn off the TV, and throw the controller into the couch. Like just upset. Then Erica comes home. She sees that the TV is off and that I pause it. And she throws me a softball. You know, why have you paused it? Really what she's asking me is, did you do it for me? You know, it's this chance. It's a softball question of like, yeah, sweetie, of course. I wanted to watch with you. And I'm such a psychopath, Maxime. I said, no, fuck them. They don't deserve to be watched. And then I turned it on and they had this huge comeback. But it wasn't without its craziness. Back to Warrior stuff. Another thing I liked. Jermichael Green. I have thrown a lot of nasty takes his way throughout the year. I've done it directly to him. I gave Bob Meyer shit on not filling out roster spots that I thought could really help. And in a quarter, he immediately made me change all of those opinions. I'm all the way in. He's the new Nemanja Bjelica. I loved that he went 6 of 9 and went for 15 points. I love that he stepped in for Loon when we needed him. You know, it sounded like Loon was a little under the weather. And then the unintended benefit, right? So, I mean, they had to, if Loon was sick, they had to give Jermichael some burn. But one of the upsides of it is that his shooting forced AD to come out of the paint, you know? And so now all the passing lanes, everything was far more open. So Jermichael Green, another thing I liked.
Yeah, who knew that he was going to be a 16-game bench player or, I guess, starter at this point, right? It was... I was excited before the season started because I felt like him and Dante both filled just exquisite positions of need in the same way that we like signed Gary Payton last offseason, and it really panned out for us. And I was a little bit disappointed by his lack of strong performances throughout the regular season, but my God, he stepped up when he needed him. And I also loved that, yeah, for sure, he forced Anthony Davis out of the paint a little bit, and then it ended up being us bucking up the paint more than them, which was fantastic. But I loved also that they weren't totally sure, right? Like, part of their game plan, I think, was, well, either they didn't know what to do with Jermichael Green, or they said, well, he's not been great, so we can sag off of him and dare him to take shots. They dared him, and he made those shots, so... It was just a great time. I was cheering for him hardcore.
They weren't positive. Every time he shot the ball, I wasn't positive. I was ready to rage pause the game again. But again, he proved me wrong. Also worth following up. Exquisite positions of need. Sounds like another A24 show on Netflix. I would definitely watch that. And it would be dark as shit. And, you know, somewhat foreboding. I'll give you another thing I liked about Jermichael Green. If we have that clip from him, go ahead and play it here. This is Jermichael following... his performance and at the press table.
No, they always tell me to stay ready. You know, so they seen this before and that my time will come. And, you know, our first series, you know, I was kind of struggling with it, but we had a team meeting and Steph, he said some powerful words and it kind of got me locked in, let go of everything and just all about the team.
So a couple things there, right? One, that he stayed ready. I would not be capable of that. I would be mentally weak. I'd be deep in my feelings. And if they came to me late, I'd be super pissy. So that he did that, it's incredible. But the other thing I liked about that quote and Jermichael is that it's another angle for me to appreciate Steph Curry, man. So we haven't actually read it into this mic, and I'm sure people are aware of it. But Jermichael referenced right there a speech that he heard from Steph that you know, galvanized him, that got him ready to rock. And there's this incredible story from friend of the podcast, Marcus Thompson II, came out right before Game 7. And I'm going to read you a quick excerpt for it here. I've had this in my phone for the last few pods, and we just didn't have an excuse. And I didn't want to steal the thunder from MT2, but it's now come out in a bunch of different ways, so I feel confident. Here it is. Quote, according to multiple sources in the private session, Curry told the team he believed in them, that they had enough to win. He asked for their trust in return. He assured them he would deliver victory if they all bought in. He implored them to put all of their feelings aside, which sources with knowledge of the locker room felt was messaged directly at Poole, Kuminga, and other guys who might have been unhappy for reasons such as playing time and role, and to lock in to a unified mission. Anyone who wanted to remain in their emotions, he told them to stay home. Anyone who was ready for their vacation, he told them not to get on the bus for Sacramento. But anyone who did get on that bus, Curry took that as a signature of approval, a binding agreement to be on board with the mission. And if they did that, if they got on the bus, he promised he'd deliver. With his game, his faith, their solidarity, they'd win. So look, dude, two things. One, what happened after that? A fucking 50 spot on Sacto's head. But two, we just heard from Jermichael. This is still there, this setting of the tone, this whatever it is that you can give us. If it's just supporting us on the bus, if it's coming in on a spot start and going 6 of 9, whatever it is, buy in. And, you know, dude, that's leadership. There's no other way to put it. This guy is the foundational star of a fucking dynasty.
Hell yes. And I mean, I just pulled up the article while you were talking through it, just to give, you know, even though it says the athletic staff, I think, oops, that's not even the right one. So screw that. But just giving Marcus Thompson his praise there, because I've been enjoying reading him a ton. Friend of the show, Marcus Thompson. And this is just such a fantastic article. And it was so cool to get that insight and see how, you know, see it propagate out. I think we're not even going to hear the last of it, you know, especially if this ends up being a long postseason run. This is going to be one of the flashbulb moments for sure.
Fuck yes. Ah, shit. Some other quick hitters, dude. What else do I like? I like having Spider-Man and Zendaya at the game. I just said, F LA and their celebrities. We got big deals here too. I like just seeing them in the crowd. I liked big Klay Thompson games. I mean, how far are we going to go before we say that? It's so great having them back in my life. And we've said this too. There's something that's just fun and unpredictable about a Klay heater. This reveals how much of a nerd I am. My apologies in advance, but I was thinking about it. A Steph heater feels like watching like Captain America go off. You know, it's predictable. It's phenomenal. It follows a very specific course. Klay going off is like a Deadpool movie. It's like it's zany and a little bit strange and way more entertaining. And I'm fucking on board. And from the moment that the second three-pointer went in and you could kind of tell Chase Center was ready to watch him go off. Just incredible stuff. And plug for the YouTube channel. We are currently watching the highlight reel that Maxime put together for that channel. I'll give us something I don't like. I don't like dirty ass Dennis Schroeder and his knee grabbing ways. So give me what? How'd you experience that, man? Is it common foul? Like, what'd you leave thinking?
No. Are you kidding me? I was like, okay. It's definitely a flagrant two, but given Draymond and all this history or whatever, maybe they'll call it a flagrant one instead. The fact that they went and looked at it and then, you know, decided it was still a common foul. I mean, that felt like the most obvious, ridiculous. It threw me for a loop. That was the one time in the whole game that I just yelled at the television.
I mean, I'm to the point now where I kind of expected after they reviewed it that they'd come back and call a flagrant two on Draymond. I'm surprised that they haven't fucking suspended him. You know, like Dumar's like, yeah, we looked at this and based on past activity, we're pretty sure he put his knee into Schroeder's hand. The thing that was bullshit to me, and so we talked about this when we kind of did the tongue in cheek, what's the dirtiest play so far in the playoffs? But it's the justification, right? If you sat down and you asked Schroeder, what's the basketball play? You know, what are you doing, dude? Like, why'd you do that? What's his response? Draymond didn't have the ball, so he wasn't going for the ball. He's trying to get around him on a screen, and he pulls the inside of his leg. There's nothing he could say that would make it a basketball play, which means, by definition, it's dirty. What the fuck are you doing?
100%. I mean, I feel like the closest I get to is he's doing some parkour shit. You know, maybe he's been, like, practicing running around an elementary school and, like, grabbing flagpoles as he like flips around, but it's like there's no flagpoles on the basketball court. I found that to be so heinous. I mean, he legitimately could have injured Draymond, and that's not me being a homer. That's just like you're pulling on the knee. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. I'm glad that Draymond's not hurt. It's such a ridiculous play. It was such a ridiculous play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some other stuff I like. I like that we survived a big LeBron half. You know, he hits some. I told you, he hits those first couple of threes. I lose my ire. I mean, I can't even watch for a couple of seconds. And it kind of felt like, well, if he's hitting the 30, he hit that end of the shot clock three that banked in. Ugh. And I started thinking like, well, it's one of those games, you know, like, we've got a LeBron game coming. And despite the fact that he was hot as shit, they still took a 27-point ass beating. In fact, another thing I liked, I loved the image of AD and LeBron on the fucking bench during the fourth quarter, especially when juxtaposed, when they talked to AD after game one. And I'll paraphrase here. But essentially what he says, they asked him, you know, what do you attribute such a great game to? And he basically said is, I'm great. You know, what do you mean do I attribute such a great game to? Like, when I'm healthy, this is what I always aspire to. And to have that next game be a dud, you know, it's like, well, I guess you're not always great, man. Let's settle down on breaking your arm to pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, and my bad. I got to apologize to Wes because game one wasn't LeBron's best performance. He actually went for 23 last night instead of 22. So, yeah, just pointing out, sure, he had a great first half, but he had 2 points in the second half and we shut him up. So, I don't know. Jury's still out on that one.
I love that kind of secretly you're almost as petty as I am. That these things that like that it's in there, that it did bother you that we called you out on that, that like somewhere you're angry that we think you're a cheater. You know, like, I mean, just all that stuff is still bouncing around, which is so fantastic.
Well, this just got doubly worse because you said we called you out on that, which means that clearly you're on Wes's side. And I don't know how I feel about that, Bram. That's new information to me.
This is not subjective. I'm giving you a documentary. It's what you said. I've recently listened to that podcast. And it's 100% exactly what you said. Back to things I like. I like that. We still haven't had the Steph game. It's coming. It is coming. We might have multiple Steph games, you know. And it's not that he didn't have a gigantic impact. They put the ball in his hands. They let him initiate. That was kind of one of the big flips they had for game two. And because of that, I think he ended up with like 12 or 13 assists and, you know, was the distributor that we needed. But we also know there's a 40 spot coming. And that we are already tied going back and still on pace for what I thought. I still say Warriors in six, that we still have the Steph game in pocket is satisfying, let's say.
Well, 100%. And I love seeing a different, you know, that there are one-dimensional players, right, that are really fantastic at a certain skill set. And maybe for a game or two or even a series, they could really capture the attention of the NBA. But I love that Steph is capable of being a fantastic, you know, a Ricky Rubio style just distributor and not stressing about needing to get his points in order to impact the game in such a high way. I mean, that's it's the definition of a leader across all points. And I feel like he's almost putting his money where his mouth is, saying like, hey, we need you all to step up in that game seven locker room talk. And then here he is making it happen. So, yeah, I can't wait for that 40 spot, and I'm also just tremendously satisfied that he's impacting the game the way he is, even if that doesn't come for another couple.
Dude, add the word unselfish, right? Think about setting here, too. I mean, it's not just that he's in the playoffs. It's not just that the world is watching. It's that the world is watching in the playoffs the Steph versus LeBron show. That's how this thing is being sold everywhere. You watch the pregame. They do that camera angle where it's a tight shot of somebody taking pregame shots, and then it backs up, and you see LeBron in the background, and it was Steph in the foreground. The whole thing are these two constantly juxtaposed. And in a setting like this, in this setting, that they went to him and said, all right, we want you to be, you know, a distributor, to have less sexy stats to help us win. And he had no problem taking that step back. It, you know, just another – this is another chapter in a book we have been reading, you know, for 15 years now. I mean, none of this is a surprise. But it's always a delight, if that makes any sense, man. We're just lucky to have this dude in our life. You know who else we're lucky to have? Moses Moody. His step back crossover three on LeBron, yes, was one of my favorite moments in a game that was chock full of them. And that he is now slowly coming out and becoming the very guy we thought he might be way back in October. When we first started talking about this, incredibly satisfying, which leads to the last thing I don't like, the way they're using JK. It's breaking my heart, Maxime.
Yeah.
I don't like it, dude. I know he got time yesterday, but it was walk-on time. You know, it's the kind of time that's almost worse than not playing. The yes. like, look, it's over. So, hey, get out there. We got to mop up these minutes anyways. It could be the towel boy, but let's go with you. And I don't like that's what they're doing. I believe in Kuminga's fucking future. I believe in his present. I'm sure. I mean, Kerr knows how to bring home a championship in a way that I never will. I've never coached at any level. I do not know what I'm talking about. I couldn't even, you know, I don't always make the fantasy playoffs, dude. I'm not the guy you want to ask. But I am, I don't know, fairly good with like people and reading things and getting a sense on personalities. And there's no way this isn't killing JK. There's just no way. And I'm worried they're going to lose him.
Yeah, I want to address both Moody and JK. So if you don't mind, I'll take them in reverse. I spent most of the first half with like Jermichael Green taking shots and Moody taking shots and some just sort of, I think, generally chaotic play on both ends of the floor, saying, oh no, more often than not when the ball would launch out of somebody's hands, right? Expecting it to go in for the Lakers, expecting it not to go in for the Warriors. And I think that step back three was the moment I said, oh no, for the last time. I said, okay, you know what? I got to start trusting this. I can't be saying the same thing every time the ball goes up. That's annoying for the people around me. It feels really good to put my faith in Moses Moody, and he keeps delivering. But Jonathan Kuminga, I mean, when you said it's worse potentially than having him not play at all, I think so too, from the standpoint of us wanting for him to prove his value in a playoff context. He did not look great out there, frankly, right? He didn't look like he was paying attention. He was like a little bit out of position. He was like over reaching on certain plays, just trying to make some impact in garbage time. You can't blame the dude, right? The game's already over. You don't need to focus anymore. It's a completely different context. The crowd isn't involved anymore. You know, you don't need to impact winning. The game has already been won. And it makes me really sad, because it feels like he's digging a deeper hole that he needs to now get out of than if he hadn't played at all. And I don't know if that's true for his own morale. Sometimes just getting out there and running up and down the court, from what I understand, is helpful for people. But shit, man, like, I want this dude to be able to impact the game, and I think that he can, and I don't think that he took a step forward last night.
I wish they would give him what I'll call gong show minutes. And I'm dating myself. This actually goes back even before I was watching television, but there used to be a show, it was like a talent show, essentially. They'd bring people up and you'd drop your talent. And if the judges hated what you were doing, they'd hit a big gong and your act would be over right then. Boom, done. You wouldn't finish it. It's just it. Off you'd go. Gong show minutes, in my mind, are at least give him a shot. You know, give him a short leash. That's fine. You know, let him play to the gong. If he has enough mistakes where we got to rip him off the floor, then that's what happens. But I think at this stage, he at least deserves that 2-3 minutes of burn to figure out if he can help us, especially against a team that is as big as the Lakers. We could use his size. So, you know, this is picking nits. You know, the 27-point, absolutely dominant, completely needed victory. And I couldn't be more happy. And you know, the sun was brighter for me today. Roses smelled better. I mean, all of that stuff. I'm in a phenomenal mood and couldn't be happier. But what's going on with JK? I don't like. And I hope that they can find some way to pacify him. I don't know. Worth hedging here. One skill set. You know, I've said that Kerr isn't great at developing players. I'll stick by that. But I'll also say that he is great at locker rooms. Great. And so hopefully he's using that skill set with JK. And so is Andre, is whispering sweet nothings in his ear. And maybe that finally justifies Andre's slot. But it's, I don't know, man. It's the only downside to an otherwise great night.
Yeah. But let's not dwell on it, right? Because I think it's crazy that we got, 10, 11 minutes into this podcast before talking about Klay Thompson. I mean, that was a majestic vintage performance. And that's what I want to go out thinking about, because that's going to carry me through all the way until tomorrow's game and probably beyond. It just felt so good to see one of my favorite players of all time light up like that.
It's just such a smashing of joy. You know, it's just like every time he has the ball, even when he forces up those terrible three-pointers and it goes in, and we've conditioned ourselves now when it's like the third or fourth bad three-pointer, but you know it's going in, that's that Deadpool moment. You know, like he's acting crazy. He's not doing what he should be doing, but it's entertaining as shit, and it works. So let's go.
Hell yes. And that's the difference between your stock movie and a movie like Deadpool that was exciting and entertaining and had all of the stuff. It's like, it's just different. And that's why I love Warriors basketball.
Dude, I appreciate you jumping on the Deadpool analogy. I'm not sure I landed that plane. I've tried twice now and it feels like I'm just off, you know, like I hit the landing strip and then kind of spinned off into the field. But I mean, we're all safe. It somewhat worked. Maxime, last question, updated prediction. So I'm staying steady. I've said it in the beginning. I've said it after one. I'll say it after two. Warriors and six.
Warriors and six. Let's go. I'm feeling better and better about it with each game.
Yeah, let's go, man. Enjoy your drive. This is where we would normally do a plug for our various social media shots. Instead of telling you our email, social media, nothing else, we're going to focus on the brand new segment you've brought to the YouTube channel, man. So you guys know that we've been working with Tony. Tony's a coach. Tony Fischero has worked with a lot of people, developed a lot of talent, and is the kind of basketball mind that can break down plays. So we're introducing this thing called Coach's Corner with Tony. It's up on our YouTube spot. Go to YouTube, search Warriors Huddle. And what he does is bring us through various plays and explains things in a way that we wouldn't otherwise be able to see. And the first one he did was Jordan Poole's last shot in game one. And what he's explaining is that it was a good shot, that we should all be happy with it. So if you want to check that out, it can be found up on YouTube. With that in mind, go Warriors! Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.